Father, we give you thanks just so that we could gather in your presence. Lord, that we could worship you, that we can lift high and exalt your name, which is the name which is above all names. Now, Father, as we sit at your feet now, we pray that you would feed us from your word. We ask for an anointing that the Spirit of God would move upon Pastor John. Touch him and use him, and Lord, touch our hearts and use us. Father, we thank you. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen.
Amen. Hallelujah. Well, if you remember last week, we looked at the lives of three different people, Joseph, Paul, and Jesus, and we saw that all three of them were, you know, able to persevere through extremely difficult, almost impossible situations. And there was a reason. It's because they had an understanding or revelation or a vision of the purpose and the call of God in their life. And the amazing accounts of their lives demonstrated something. It demonstrated the faith and the obedience of someone who walked close to God, who had an intimate personal relationship with God, because he strengthens us. And we saw that in spite of the severe trials and the unfair punishments that these guys endured, they maintained their testimony. They stood strong. They maintained their godly character and their faith. And eventually, each one of them saw God's plans unfolding in their lives in a dramatic way. And in fact, they all made a tremendous impact for good upon our world. What was their secret? How did they handle the unfairness of life? The things that come against us, came against them, and still remain consistent in their faith? How come they didn't get all bitter and depressed and discouraged and angry and just give up? Anybody could have. The reason was that they knew and they trusted God. They had a relationship with Him, and because of that, they understood that it was important to be faithful to God's greater purposes than what they just were experiencing at that moment in their life. What Joseph, Paul, and Jesus understood, we need to understand that, and that's that this world and God's plans don't revolve around what we want. This world and God's plans don't revolve around us. We're not the center of the universe. We have to fit into God's plans. We have to fit into God's plans. Remember what Jesus said in Matthew 26:39? My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. But here's the important part. Yet not as I will, but as you will. I will fit into the plan. And this is Jesus. Paul was the same way, and Joseph was the same way. Jesus was one with the Father. Everything he did was perfectly aligned with the will of God. And so here's the question, and it's actually the title of my message, is whose vision are we running after? Many people, even Christians, happens all the time, see themselves, their vision, their hopes, and their dreams as the center of all things. The end-all, be-all, the center of the universe. But God's plans don't revolve around us. Our lives must revolve around God's plans. That's the only way it's going to work. We've all had visions and hopes and dreams of our future. Some of those came from God. Some of them came out of our own heart. But it doesn't matter where they came from, the plans, whether they're from God or in our own mind. One of the things that we need to know is that we can't just sit around and wait for those hopes and dreams and visions and the things that we want to happen. We can't just sit around and wait for them to come to pass. We need to get in there and act. Usually in our imagination, in our mind, we begin to think these things through, and we start to think how this great vision of ours, this future plan of ours, is going to all come to fruition. And we begin to expect things to happen in a certain way, in a particular way. But then, after a while, it seems like, sometimes at least, that circumstances begin to work against us. You ever notice that? We don't get the job that we thought we were going to get. People come against us that we weren't expecting. People reject us. Some people betray us. We blow the big opportunity that we had. We think we've been forgotten. Nobody notices us. Sometimes someone else gets the very thing that we thought was coming to us, we were supposed to get. Sometimes we feel like we're just not growing. Sometimes we say our spouse isn't growing. Nobody recognizes how talented we are, how I can be up there, I could do that, I can do this. Sort of like when Joseph, who we talked about last week, if you remember when he told his brothers what he saw in his vision, they weren't too happy about it. But here's the thing about Joseph. Joseph remained faithful to God, even in the midst of all that went on, all that his brothers put him through, all the trials, all the temptations, all the things that happened. And this is how Joseph proved himself. Not just to those around him, proved himself even to God that he was a man after God's heart. When things didn't go, or when things don't go our way, it's easy to complain, it's easy to grumble, to backbite, to get resentful. Sometimes we get disillusioned or discouraged, and sometimes we just want to give up. And that's where the rubber meets the road. That's what we can't do. This is where our faith is really put to the test. Because faith isn't faith. It isn't proven until it goes through desperate times. You don't really show any faith when everything's going right. We prove our faith when everything's going wrong. Joseph trusted God, and it was his relationship to God that helped him to remain faithful. Whenever he found, or wherever he found himself, remember he was trapped in a hole, sold to traitors, slave in somebody's house, in prison, all these different places, wherever he found himself, he always used the best of his abilities to be the best in every way that he could. And that's because he was following what it tells us to do in Colossians 3:23. It says, whatever you do, work at it with all your heart, as if you were working for the Lord, not for human masters. It was really God that he was working for. And even though he didn't see that vision that he had come to pass for a long time, he knew that he was walking in God's purpose day by day. And what we have to be concerned about is today. Today. That we do what we're supposed to do today. Not at some point in the future, and well, don't worry about today. We need to think about today. It doesn't matter. Well, we certainly need to think about the future, too, and have a vision for the future. But I'm saying the way that future comes to pass, the right way, is taking care and doing what we need to do now, too. It all works together. It doesn't matter what the circumstances are that come against us. As long as we are faithful to God on a day-by-day basis, we will eventually see that God's plan is working for the good in our lives. It may not be what we expected, but God's plans are good. God knows what He's doing. We'll never understand everything that God's doing in our life. Joseph sure didn't know what was going on when all that was happening to him. And especially, we don't understand it sometimes, probably the most, when we're right in the middle of it. We're surrounded by all the discomforts or the betrayals or the struggles or discouragement or whatever it is, and it's coming at us. And we can't think straight then sometimes. We've got to follow the plan. Maybe we need to get some prayer, get some help, get some counsel. But we need to have our heart set on remaining faithful to what we know that God has called us to do. When we have those times where we feel like giving up, we just say, you know what? I might feel this right now, but I'm going to keep pressing on. Doesn't matter if we understand what's happening or not, we keep pressing on. That's so important. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge Him, and He will make your path straight. We need to trust God that He is directing our path. Even when it seems totally opposite of what we thought God should be doing. See, it's unfortunate, but too many times we think we need to tell God what's supposed to be happening, right? God, this isn't supposed to be like this. God, you need to fix this. God, this isn't what I expected. But God knows what He's doing. He knows exactly what He's doing. And we got to remember, He's under no obligation to give us all the inside scoop on His plans. He's the boss. He knows what He's doing. If Joseph had not loved the Lord and obeyed the Lord and loved Him more than his own expectations of what should have happened, he would have given up long before he got to that position where everything fell into place. The story of Joseph is a tremendous story. I don't have time to get into that today, but if you've never read it, go back in and read it. How many people are there in the world that we know? I know, unfortunately, it's sad to say, but I know a lot who've given up the fight. They've literally dropped out of the race, and now they're out there in the world filled with fear, anger, bitterness, resentment, unbelief, hardened hearts. Because they didn't stick to the plan. They got mad at God because God didn't do what they wanted. They felt that God needed to follow their idea instead of them following God's. It doesn't work that way. And that's the test that separates those who are walking in the flesh compared to those who are walking in the Spirit. Our faith has to be based on a God who knows what He's doing even when we don't. That's who we put our faith in. We're putting our faith in God who knows all. Who knows all. Our Creator. How can we tell our Creator? How does the pot tell the craftsman what to do? It doesn't. How does the paint tell the artist what to do? It doesn't. Our job is to trust God, to obey Him day by day, knowing that when we continue to walk in His path day after day, we will get the victory. If we listen to the Lord, if we obey the Lord, we will get the victory. And as we do this, God will direct our path and enable us then to walk in our destiny, walk in what He created us for, and to be faithful then to His eternal purpose. And that's what we want. So what is God's eternal purpose? Ephesians 3:11 tells us that God's eternal purpose was accomplished in Jesus Christ our Lord. Jesus is the one that's bringing this whole eternal purpose all to fruition, right here before our eyes. God's eternal purpose here on this earth is His great plan of redemption, reconciliation, and restoration. That's what He's doing. He's redeeming us, He's reconciling us, and He's restoring us. And He's bringing, as it says right here, all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, Jesus Christ. That's what brings glory to God. Ephesians 1, 9 and 10 says, "And He made known to us the mystery of His will, according to His good pleasure, which He purposed in Christ." See, that's His purpose. "To be put into effect when the times will have reached their fulfillment, to bring all things in heaven and on earth together under one head, even Christ." Jesus, through His death on the cross, has redeemed us. He's redeemed us. He has reconciled us to the Father. And now He is restoring us to God's kingdom and restoring to us the blessings that come from God. This is how we get blessed. And that's always a nice part of this too. I like to get blessed, don't you? I don't want to do all this and not get blessed. I want to be blessed. And believe me, the blessings that God has in store for us, tells us in the Word, are things that we couldn't even imagine to ask for. At His right hand will be pleasures forevermore. That's what we got in store for us. Just like everything God does, He does it at just the right time. That's the way God works. It may not seem like the right time to us, but to God, who knows better than us, it is the right time. Galatians 4, 4 and 5 tells us, "When the time had fully come," or at just the right time, "God sent His Son, born of a woman, born under the law, to redeem those under the law, that we might receive the full rights as sons and daughters." God redeemed us so He could bring us back into the family, so we could enjoy the family treasures, the crown's treasures. To redeem means that He rescued us. He set us free by paying the ransom to save us from the penalty of sin. He ransomed us from the curse of the law. And what was the cost of that redemption? I think you know. It tells us in Acts 20, 28 that Jesus purchased the church with His own blood. God set that plan in motion for a reason. Because He wanted to reconcile us. He wanted to reconcile us. What does reconcile mean? Reconcile means to reestablish a close relationship. See, when sin came, we were cut off from God. We became like we were at war with Him. We became an enemy. And when He reconciled us through the blood of Jesus, all of a sudden now He's reestablished a close relationship between two people, and in this case, that's God and us. That's what reconciling is. So God did it all. This wasn't something we ordained. This wasn't something we worked out. God did this. This couldn't have happened unless God made it happen. 2 Corinthians 5, 18, 20 said, "All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through Christ, and gave us then the ministry of reconciliation." Oh, now we're reconcilers. "That God was reconciling the world to Himself in Christ, not counting men's sins against them. And He has committed to us the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. Get close to God and help other people get there too." So God is in the process of restoring His people now. He's restoring not only us to Him and to the kingdom, but He's restoring, as I said earlier, His blessings back into our life. He's restoring the church. He's bringing the church back and into the image that He had originally envisioned. God's vision of how this church, our church, should be, or the church. So how is He doing that? God's desire is that no one should perish. I think we know that. And that everyone would come to repentance. That would be the ideal. That's 2 Peter 3:9. God wants to use each one of us now in this plan of reconciliation. He wants us to play our part within the church. So He orchestrates circumstances within our lives so that each one of us will have the ability or the opportunity to reach out and rescue other people, to rescue them from the kingdom of darkness, from hopelessness, from certain death. He's always, all these things are happening all the time, and we find ourselves, if our eyes are open, if our ears are open, if our heart is open to it, we'll find ourselves in places, in situations, in circumstances where there's somebody there who we can speak life to. So we can take back what the devil stole. Each one of us should be looking for those doorways, those opportunities to minister life, to minister salvation to other people. God's given us the ministry of reconciliation. Just like we read a minute ago in 2 Corinthians 5:18. We never know what turn of events will open up the door. It could be anything. So that's why we always have to have our mind open. Think about Joseph. How many discouraging things happened to him along his path to become the ruler of the world in reality. He was second in command to the Pharaoh, but the Pharaoh gave him his ring and said, nothing will be done unless you do it. So he really became the ruler of the known world, of the civilized world at that time. The main guy. That's how powerful God can work in our lives when we follow His plans. If Joseph had given up way back when he was a slave working for Potiphar, it never would have happened. But he kept serving God. He was faithful. He just kept right along, moving along in God's plan, and the payoff came. And when it came, he hit the jackpot. Pulled the lever down, so much came out, he couldn't contain it all. All that's part of God's plan of restoration. That was God's vision for him. We just have to learn to trust God and know that if we follow after God, God will work those things out. And that's how we then bring glory to God's name. God's at work in each one of us, transforming us into the likeness or the image of His Son, Jesus. That's what He's doing. 2 Corinthians 3:18, and we, who with unveiled faces all reflect the Lord's glory, are being transformed into His likeness with ever-increasing glory, which comes from the Lord, who is the Spirit. God is doing a major remodeling job in our lives. He's tearing it all out. Just like what Ken and Debbie have been experiencing at their house. I hear updates all the time about what Jesse's been doing and all the other people around here who've been helping them. They got this little house there that they've tore out. And instead of just going in and fixing a couple things, they just started tearing out, then they tore out more, and they tore out more. That's how God works in our life. Sometimes you've got to tear out a lot of stuff. Sometimes you can just fix it. Some areas you can fix. A lot of times things got to get torn out. And so God knows what we need. He knows how to do what has to be done to supply our needs. And so he, again, we get back to this, he's working in us to change us and to use us then. And sometimes he'll use tragedy, sometimes victory. Sometimes it might be poverty, sometimes it might be wealth. We don't know what will help to bring us to that place that we need. It could be any situation, any circumstance. It could be a serious operation. You could think you're dying, and that's when you finally get it together. You could be standing in a line that doesn't move. You could be stuck with a flat tire somewhere. You could be involved in a sudden temptation. You could get a big pay raise or a sudden demotion. The way we react or the way we respond to all those different situations and millions more reveals how much we've grown and how much more still needs to be done in us. How do we respond to that, to those things? How do we handle those things when they come at us? Are we able to stick to God's plan, or do we blow up, fall apart, give up? Through all of that, God is busy at work building His church, building up His people, making a visible representation of His glory here on this earth. The church may not be perfect. We know it isn't. There's no perfect church because we're in it. But the truth is, God loves His church. God loves His church. And He's working in it. He's working through it. The church is His plan. There is no plan B. This is the plan. Because this is the plan that will succeed. It's God's vision, and we're a part of it. And the way I know, the reason I know it's going to succeed is because you got to remember what Jesus said, I will build my church. Jesus said, I will build my church. And then we get to play a part in that. We get to be a part of that as we are led by the Holy Spirit, as we walk in obedience to God's word, and as we commit ourselves to God's purpose. When we do those things, then we're a part of that building process. And as we walk in God's plans, we're going to find that He will use every circumstance, everything that goes on, to bring us to a place where our life will be changing and growing, where we will commit ourselves then. He's going to bring us to a place where we will find in our life, now we're here, but a lot of people aren't, where they will realize they have to commit themselves to a local church. You see, we need to be a part of God's church to be in the plan. Those who aren't in a church that float, they're not in the plan. It's sad to say, but it's true. There are so many scriptures that tell us that we are supposed to be connected one to another. You know, it talks about the arm and the hand and the eyes and everything and how we're all a part of it. When one rejoices, we all rejoice. We all work together as the body of Christ. The whole plan of God is unity, bringing together all of His people. When somebody just floats and says, I don't need to be a part of any church, I minister to all churches. I just reach out to people everywhere. That just tells me you're in rebellion. You can't settle down in some place and learn to not only to be committed, but be able to grow and to be a blessing. It's important that we're connected, that we're committed to one another. This is what family is about. God, when He gets us into a church, then He will begin to reveal to us, sometimes through others, where our ministry lies, what we're supposed to do. And then we can be part of that church that is individually and corporately an ambassador for God. He'll use us to speak the message of life, forgiveness, and love to the world. He wants to see people being saved, growing, transformed into the image of His Son. And that's what the church was designed to do. That's His body. The church is what represents Jesus. He is the head, we are the body. The hand cannot say to the arm, I don't need you. We need one another. We need one another. So the question we have to ask ourselves is this: do my plans, does my vision, do my expectations all fit into the eternal purposes of God? Or do we put our vision, our personal vision, ahead of His? Where do we stand with that? Whose vision are we running after? That's the question. Whose vision? We should ask ourselves, whose vision am I running after? Who am I really living for? Am I living for me and my pleasure? Am I living for just what I want? Or am I really trying to live for God? God's purposes must carry greater weight. They have to. If we want to see God's glory revealed and His blessings abounding in our life, that's the way it's going to have to happen. All of a believer's present and future happiness and joy depends on and springs from us walking in the will of God. That's the way it works. If our life seems empty, if our life seems boring and hopeless and sorrowful and frustrated, and it's like it just isn't there, it isn't what we know there's more, maybe it means we've been putting greater emphasis on our will than on God's. Maybe we're seeking our kingdom instead of His kingdom. Whose vision are we running after? If we waste all our energy running after our own happiness and we neglect God's purposes, we will never attain the position that God had destined for us. Once again, I have to think about Joseph. He went from being a little shepherd boy to becoming one of the greatest rulers of the world, because he followed God's plan. He saw how God was able to use him and be a blessing to his family. And not only to his own family, but he, through the plan of, you know, storing the grain and all these things, if you know the story, he ended up saving his family, not only Egypt, but his family, which was the nation of Israel. Gets back to seeking first the kingdom. When we trust in the Lord and acknowledge all His ways, whatever the circumstances, a continuous flow of life will come out of us. There'll be God's power within us. We'll be able to operate in an amazing way. And that's exactly what Joseph, that's how he was able to endure those hardships. There was an inner strength in him that we can have too. It's there for us too. He didn't have to worry about where he was going to get that power from. All he had to worry about was, am I following after God? Am I following His will? That's how Abraham was able to go up on the mountain and sacrifice Isaac, or at least prepare or plan to sacrifice Isaac, because he understood that somehow God's greater purpose would prevail. He didn't know how. He knew that he was supposed to have descendants that were going to be as numerous as the stars, and here he tests, God tells him to take his only son and sacrifice him. But he went up there ready to do the job, because he just knew that somehow God would pull it off. That's how Noah built the ark in spite of all the ridicule and all that work he had to do, when he had never even seen or heard of rain. He understood that somehow God's greater purpose would be fulfilled, and he saved mankind. That's how Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were able to go into that fiery furnace. They said, our God's able to save us, but even if he doesn't, we're not going to bow down to you, because that's not God's plan. They knew that God had a greater plan, and God ended up showing up in the fire with them. That's how Daniel could go in and face the lions and survive to the morning when the king came in and said, oh, Daniel, Daniel, are you still alive? Yes, king, I'm still alive. That's how David was able to defeat Goliath, who stood against the armies of Israel, a little boy. Every one of them understood that somehow God's greater purpose would be fulfilled if they just followed the plan, if they stayed with the plan, kept the vision of God in their mind and in their heart and went forward. Like Paul said, I press on. Leaving everything else behind, I press on. In every case, there was victory and there was blessing. A lot of blessing. So what about us? How are we going to respond to our trials and hardships? We're going to give up, run away? Or are we going to say, you know what? I'm sticking with the plan. I know God's got a plan for me. I know God has a vision for me. And I've picked up on some of it, and I'm going forward. I'm just going to keep doing it. Doesn't matter about the frustrations, the hardships, the disappointments. I'm sticking with God. Do we trust His Word that says, I can do all things through Him who gives me strength? Do we trust that God knows what He's doing? Who could possibly come up with a better plan than God? Nobody. God isn't going to let you down. He's not going to let you down. He's given us His Holy Spirit to empower us, to guide us, who could counsel us, to fill us with all kinds of gifts, fruit, blessing. And He's going to lead us. He's going to say, this is the way, walk in it. And that's what it comes down to. We trust God. We obey God. We walk in His way. We get blessed, and we bless. We bless others. We need to get hold of God's plan. Whose vision are you running after? We're so fortunate, every one of us, and I'm wrapping it up here, we are so fortunate that we live and get to be part of the greatest movement that has ever happened on the face of this earth. God's great plan of redemption and reconciliation and restoration, bringing all things together under the lordship or the headship of His Son, Jesus Christ. We're part of that. We're part of that plan. And your part can be a lot bigger, I bet, than it is right now. As we start seeking in God and pressing in, God, what can I do? What talents can I use? What talents can I discover within me? How can I serve God in a greater way? Let's pray. If I could have the prayer team come forward. Father, we thank you. We thank you so much that you are such a wonderful, such a loving, such an amazing God, that you have called us, that you have rescued us, that you have redeemed us. Rescued us from certain death, brought us out of the darkness into your wonderful light. Lord, we thank you that you have a great plan for every single one of our lives. And Lord, I pray that right now that our ears would be open, our eyes would be open, and our hearts would be open to catch a glimpse of that plan, and that we would run after it with everything that is within us, that we would run after your vision for us. Lord God, fill us up. Fill us up, Lord God, with your Holy Spirit, that we might be empowered to run and not grow weary, that we could run with the horses and not grow weary. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen, Father. Amen. We got coffee and donuts upstairs. Thanks for coming out today. God bless you. Have a great day. Down.